Sun's Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing back.
Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid is tipping off the Sunny Side of Sports for the second time this week. The Philadelphia 76ers center was criticized recently by Hall of Fame players Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley, who said Embiid wasn't playing aggressively enough and wasn't doing enough to fulfill his great potential. Barkley said Embiid is the toughest matchup in the NBA, but doesn't take advantage of it. And Big Shaq said Embiid shouldn't settle for being good, but instead aim for greatness. Joel Embiid responded Thursday night in Boston with maybe his best performance of the season, as we hear now from the AP's Gethin Kulbaugh.
Joel Embiid doubled down to silence his critics and help power the 76ers past the Celtics 115-109. Embiid had a season-high 38 points and 13 rebounds 2 days after receiving criticism about his play from NBA greats Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal.
I have the potential to be, you know, the best player in the world, and I haven't shown that, and I should already be showing that. That says a lot, and you know, they've been there, they've done it, they're all famous, so it just shows me that, you know, I gotta play harder, and I gotta dominate like I can.
16 of Embiid's points came in the fourth. Tobias Harris added 23 points. Kemba Walker scored 29.
We just have to learn how to win, you know. We have a lot of lapses, you know, during these games. You know, we have stretches where we're playing super well, and then we have lapses, and we just have times where we're just like, it's bad. You know, it just looks really bad. So we just have to just tone that down a little bit.
Boston suffered its first home loss after 10 straight wins. Gethin Kulbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Boston now has a record of 17 wins and 7 losses, putting the Celtics one game behind the 76ers in the NBA's Eastern Conference. In another NBA game Thursday night, the Dallas Mavericks defeated the Detroit Pistons 122-111 in Mexico City, Mexico. 20-year-old Slovenian star Luka Doncic had another triple-double for the Mavericks, 41 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. It was Luka's 8th triple-double of the season. And Luka also addressed the Mexican fans, much to their delight, in perfect Spanish before the game. Hola, amigos! Hola! It was the 29th NBA game played in Mexico since 1992, the most of any country other than the USA or Canada in that span. Meanwhile, the NBA also announced that it will add a minor league team in Mexico next season. Capitanes, which is based in Mexico City, will become the 29th G League team. The G League is composed of minor league affiliate organizations for 28 NBA teams. The Mexican club Capitanes will operate independently and remain unaffiliated. The G League team, based right here in Washington, is named the Capital City Go-Go and is affiliated with the NBA's Washington Wizards. The general manager of the Capital City Go-Go is Pops Mensa Bonsu, who has family roots in Ghana. The 36-year-old Mensa Bonsu played college basketball right here in Washington at George Washington University. And then Pops played professionally in Europe as well as for 5 NBA teams. VOA's Adam Phillips caught up with Pops at the recent Basketball Africa League Combine in New York. The Basketball Africa League, or BAL, is scheduled to tip off its inaugural season in March 2020. And Adam asked Pops for his impressions of the 12-team BAL.
It's a powerful moment from the time they announced the league to, you know, announcing the countries and the teams and the process and the fact that now we're one step closer to seeing this league come to fruition. So I'm overly excited and just great to see the players, the level of talent here and the turnout from NBA personnel, from the African teams, from the players. It's a big deal to me, and it's a touching moment for sure.
Now, are you here sort of as a scout, to put it very simplistically?
I wouldn't say as a scout. You know, I've been helping consult, and I've been helping, you know, the process. You know, you always got your basketball hat on, and as a general manager, you always, whenever you watch basketball, you're always evaluating talent. You don't just watch it to watch it. I mean, being a former player, I'm always thinking about what I would have done differently or what they could have done better and how they could improve. And I do the same here. Even if it's, you know, if a guy comes up to me and starts having a conversation and I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember watching you, number 52. You probably should have did this one. You went baseline or probably should have passed this one. And, you know, you're always evaluating, always looking at guys through that lens. So, you know, it's innate to me and it just comes natural.
Do you think there's a danger of it being patronizing? Sometimes, like, people say, oh, Africa, let's help them. Okay, let them have their league too because, you know, we got to include everybody because we're good guys. Or do you think they really take it seriously as talent?
Well, I think Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dikembe Mutombo, Luol Deng will probably have something different to say about that, you know, because obviously there's a lot of talent on the continent, and there's a reason why they're investing in the continent because there's talent there, and you don't want to miss the next Joel Embiid or the next, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo because it's a hub, great talent, and it's just time we cultivate that talent, it's time we build on it and invest in it, and it's just great to see that the world is taking notice to what Africa has instead of what Africa needs.
Do you think there's a certain, like, special spirit to the African game that maybe other players, other leagues, other places can learn from? Is there something that they bring to this that enriches the game as a place to be coming from?
I mean, it's the cradle of the civilization. I personally think there's just always raw talent there. Just looking at me personally, I started the game at 14 and, you know, moved to the country on my 16th birthday and played JV as a sophomore in high school. And by the time I was 21, I was an NBA player. So there wasn't that much time for me to develop. But, you know, I see a lot of Africans doing the same, if not faster, and becoming better than me. You know, the Greek Freak was playing in third division league in Greece. Now he's arguably the best player in the NBA. Yeah. So, you know, these guys develop. And, you know, as African, Africa has talent that can develop. Now it's time to develop them at a younger age and give them the resources and the ability to build on some of that talent.
That's Pops Mensah Bonsu, the general manager of Capital City Go-Go, the G League team for the NBA's Washington Wizards. And Pop spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips at the recent Basketball Africa League Combine in New York. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, the NBA says former commissioner David Stern is in a New York hospital after emergency surgery on Thursday. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
Former NBA Commissioner David Stern suffered a brain hemorrhage Thursday and is in a New York hospital following emergency surgery. The 77-year-old Stern led the NBA for 30 years prior to his retirement in early 2014. He guided the NBA through a period of enormous growth in popularity. The league added 7 franchises and became a global entity with NBA games televised in more than 200 countries. TV revenue and player salary skyrocketed during the Stern era, which began in 1984 when he succeeded Larry O'Brien as commissioner. I'm Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports send good healing thoughts to former NBA Commissioner David Stern and his family. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. FIFA has ordered Kenya's Football Federation to hold its elections before the end of the federation's current term in February 2020. FKF had scheduled its national elections to be held on December the 7th, but the Sports Dispute Tribunal annulled the process, citing irregularities, and ordered the next poll to be held within 6 months. FIFA Governance Services Manager Sarah Solemale said FIFA is closely monitoring the situation to ensure the compliance of the Sports Dispute Tribunal decision is done and also within a reasonable amount of time.
At the end of the duration of the president's term and the full executive committee's term, which is supposed to end by 10 February 2020, election can be held. FIFA is very strict on that. So overall, let's say we can be flexible and give an additional month, but the first trimester of 2020 will have to hold the FKF election.
We now turn our attention to the SACAFA Senior Challenge Cup. Kenya will return to action with hopes of booking a semifinal spot when they take on Zanzibar on Saturday. Francis Kamazi is Harambee Stars coach.
We also did not come for any easy match because we haven't played any match that was so easy either. But any opponent whom we're going to face him with a lot of dedication and commitment to get some points.
For host Uganda, they qualify for the knockout phase top of the pile with a 100% record after beating Eritrea 2-0 in their final group match. Ugandan coach Jonathan McKinstry insists his side deserved to make it to the semifinals of the SACAFA Seniors Challenge Cup in Kampala.
When you make changes like we did today, you expect tactically sometimes things not to be perfect, but the basics of the game, passing, receiving, you know, moving into space, pressing when you're out of position, those things, it doesn't matter if you're playing regularly or not, they should be the basics.
Elsewhere, Ghana Football Association President Kurt Okraku has held a meeting with FIFA President Gianni Infantino at the headquarters of FIFA in Switzerland. The meeting, held at the instance of the FIFA President, touched on a wide range of issues on Ghana football, including administration, refereeing, coaching, finance, and logistics. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
In SACAFA Cup football results Friday, Eritrea defeated Djibouti 3-0 and Somalia edged Burundi 1-0. Both games were played at the Startime Stadium in Kampala, Uganda. In African boxing, Ghana's Richard Comey will make the second defense of his IBF lightweight world title Saturday night when he fights Honduran-American Teofimo Lopez at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Now, Comey visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington last month, and he told my VOA colleague Peter Clotty that he's proud to represent Ghana as a world champion.
I'm a kind of guy that I always want to fight for my people. You know, regardless of where I find myself, I fight for Ghana. I fight for my people because I grew up in Buko, you know, the era, and I've got the passion. Actually, God gave me this. So I feel like if God has given me this thing to do as a boxing, it's always good to give back to these people, and I'm fighting for them. God hasn't given me this opportunity to do it for my own self. So I got to look at them. And anytime I think about them, it motivates me, give me the power that, yeah, I've got these people that they're looking up to me. So I got to make something new. I got to go there and win. I always want to put a smile on their faces. I don't want to let them down.
What is it about Buko that generates all the Ghanaian world champions?
We've got the fighting spirit there. They've got the fighting spirit in their blood. They want to fight. They don't care. They just want to fight. So that spirit in there. So when they travel outside, or they channel that into boxing, and then they get the right people to guide them, to lead them, and then definitely they're going to be world champions. As an example, you know, I thank God for where I am today, because even though I didn't start as a boxer, I started very late at the age of 23 years. I started very late, but I feel like God chose me to do this, you know. And I thank God that He chose me, and He gave me a manager, and then this is where I am. Because initially, people thought I would be a soccer player. And then here I am, a world champion.
When you are sizing up your opponent in the ring, first round, second round, when do you think, okay, I have his numbers, I'll be able to defeat him?
Yeah, sometimes I feel, you know, for me as a person, when first round, when you touch me, I know I got you.
Really?
Yeah.
I understand you have an American trainer.
Yes, right.
Has he improved your skills? Have you learned more skills in your arsenal that
Remember when I fought Robert Easter in 2016, I lost that world title with a split decision, even though I knocked him down.
Right.
But compared to when I moved here in 2017, I became a totally different. Like, I can box, I can move, I can do a whole lot of it. So, I mean, training with Andre Rizzi, Gary Stark, and Terrence has made me a better boxer. And ever since I started training with them, all my fights under them has been a knockout.
What should your fans expect in your upcoming bout?
Yeah, as far as they keep on praying for me, they should expect I'm retaining my title. And, you know, I'm going there representing my people. I'm going there to represent Gamachi. You know, I'm a Ghana boy. So, you know, Ghana, Africa, and the Gamachi has always backing me up. So definitely she expect I'm retaining my title. And I wanted to be there in their numbers because it's going to be a great night. And it's going to be, I mean, fighting the Mecca of boxing in the U.S., you know, it's not, I mean, I'm very excited, you know. And not every Ghanaian will get a chance to fight in there. So I want them to come there in their numbers, show support, and then we all do it together.
That's Ghana's IBF lightweight world champion, Richard Comey, who will defend his title Saturday night when he fights Teofimo Lopez at Madison Square Garden in New York. And that interview between Comey and VOA's Peter Clotty took place last month at our VOA studios here in Washington. On that same Madison Square Garden fight card Saturday night, unbeaten WBO welterweight champion Terrence Bud Crawford of the USA will defend his title against Lithuania's Egidijus Kavioskis. Turning to golf, VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with an update on the President's Cup team tournament in Australia. And Gwen also has a look back on Tiger Woods' big Masters triumph this year. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The United States has had to dig down deep to salvage the decades-long American dominance at the President's Cup. At one point at this year's tournament, the U.S. trailed in all five matches, much to the delight of local Australian fans. But on day two, partners Justin Thomas and Captain Tiger Woods helped the U.S. avert disaster to bring the Americans back to life. And although the Americans still face a deficit to the international team, Justin Thomas said he's grateful for his five-meter putt on the 18th that helped the U.S. secure a win.
I don't know. I'm speechless. I've made a lot of fortune to make a lot of big putts and hit a lot of big shots, but to do it with my captain and an unbelievable teammate to win the match and hopefully turn the tide of this President's Cup was awesome.
Thomas and Tiger Woods were the only pair to score for the United States in the opening four balls, and Tiger could not hold back his praise for his partner and their performance on day two.
Well, we were just competing. We were just fighting. It's JT and I, and we got our own little bubble. We were doing our own little thing, and we were up early. They flipped it on us, and then we were kind of fighting, clawing our way back, and JT steps up there and pours this thing in the last hole. It gives me absolute chills, man.
Tiger is only the second playing captain in the 25-year history of the President's Cup. However, for day three, Tiger has decided to fully take on his role as captain and coach from the sidelines. And when the tournament concludes on Sunday, Tiger is no doubt hoping to cap off the year the way he started it, hoisting a trophy. Looking back, 2019 has proven to be an outstanding year for Tiger and for the game of golf. He ended an 11-year major title drought at the Masters tournament last April and slid his arms into the coveted green jacket for a fifth time. Following a series of injuries, surgeries, and a personal scandal, many believed a comeback for golf's biggest star was impossible. Just 2 years ago, he was barely able to hit 60-yard shots and nearly walked away from the game. However, in a tight race at the Masters tournament, Tiger finished the day with a one-stroke lead to complete what is arguably the most redemptive victory in sports history. Following his win, Tiger was presented with the U.S. Presidential Medal of Freedom. And at 43, he is the fourth and youngest professional golfer to receive the nation's highest civilian honor. A quick look back on Tiger Woods and his historic comeback in 2019. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen, and have a good weekend. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World Athletics, formerly known as the International Association of Athletics Federations, has an interesting story at its website titled "The Rise of Road Races in Africa." The story begins in Zambia, where it says President Edgar Chagwa Lungu and his wife Esther joined several hundred people this year who were gathering to watch the annual Lafarge-Lusaka Marathon. The marathon has become a popular event in Zambia since it began 7 years ago. Elias Mpondela, the president of Zambia's Athletics Federations, says when the event started in 2012, there were barely 300 runners. In May 2019, he says, we had over 3,000 runners. And he adds, having President Lungu and the First Lady participate in the event this year was a big event. Now, the rise in the popularity of the Lusaka Marathon mirrors an upsurge in road races across Africa, even in countries with no history of long-distance success, such as Gabon, Ghana, and Nigeria. In Ivory Coast, the 2018 Abidjan Marathon drew 15,000 runners in only the fourth edition of the race, and with prize money of about $3,300. And that wraps up the December 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge, this one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
An extensive new study brings troubling news for people who consume two or more soft drink servings a day. The study, which was coordinated by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, found people who drink two or more glasses of soda each day, compared to those who drink no more than one soft drink per month, had a higher risk of death from a wide range of causes. For those of you who think you're safe because you drink sugar-free beverages, sorry, but the research suggests it doesn't matter if you're drinking soft drinks sweetened with sugar or with artificial sweeteners. The mortality risks are the same. Specifically, the study authors found that drinking two or more glasses of artificially sweetened soft drinks per day was positively linked to deaths from cardiovascular disease, while consuming one or more glasses of sugar-sweetened soft drinks each day was positively associated with deaths from digestive diseases. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
It's summertime in the Southern Hemisphere, but if you're north of the equator, Border Crossings will bring you some warmth with our Psychedelic Sunshine Show. You'll hear from the best Californian musicians of the 60s, like Sonny and Cher, The Monkees, and the Beach Boys. Tune into Border Crossings on December 19th for the grooviest songs in the world, only on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
We
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information. This